And welcome back to Sodas or Ode. And I have my soda today in hand, ready. I didn't tell you to bring a soda. That's all right, but that's...
Oh, damn.
That's all right. We'll pretend you have a soda. So today I have a guest on. This is the first guest of I don't even know what you want to call it, of my podcast, the Reset, or the new podcast I have. I kind of just changed the name. But today we have a guest who has many faces, many titles. So we got, I wrote them down to make sure I didn't forget any. So if I do forget one, do tell. But I got hockey player, baseball player, model, actor, singer, TikTok sensation, and just all around creative. Did I miss any title there?
Dude, I love it. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I really categorize some of those, but I dabble, you know, I dabble.
I'd say so. I think you dabbling in is what begins any like journey though. You know, you kind of just start dabbling and all of a sudden you get good at it.
Dude, that's 100% true. I feel like that's the issue with a lot of people that want to get, the people that want to expand their horizons. It's like, they don't know where to start. That's the biggest step, is just starting. You're going to look like an idiot at the beginning, no matter what you do.
Yeah, no, 100%. So. It's just being not afraid to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's, it goes a long way. But I do want to start kind of with your sports background. Mm-hmm. Obviously you have a hockey background. It's like, it was a big part of like your early TikToks and mm-hmm. Your YouTube too. So what was hockey, your first sport? Was that like your first sport you loved as a kid?
Yeah, hockey was, so I have three siblings, so like four kids in the family all together. And it was like, it was one of those situations where it was like dad building the backyard rink when you're like 3 years old.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, that was definitely like earliest sports memories, was playing hockey with my siblings. And, you know, like 14 years old, went away to prep school, playing at Trinity Pauling. And, you know, the goal was to play Division I hockey. Sure. Ended up playing in the NESCAC Division III. And yeah, but that hockey was definitely the first love. Yeah, I played baseball, like never really expected to, I didn't really expect to play that at the next level. Like the goal was really just play hockey at the next level. And then that kind of just fell into place going like the D3 route. So it was, cool. Yeah.
It was
interesting.
That is cool. So what, did you start baseball young too? Or was that like later on?
Yeah. I played it my whole life. So it was just kind of like, that was always for fun. Yeah. So, I don't know. I did that, you know, like your local little league and like travel baseball,
for sure.
But it was the point where, I mean, everything, all the focus was on hockey. So it was like, you played baseball through the summer, dropped the baseball after the summer was over, didn't pick it up again until like the spring of next year. So never had an arm injury though, which I'm pretty sure that's like a recipe to have an arm injury.
Yeah, that definitely would. The Tommy Johns and shit, right?
Yeah, dude. As a pitcher too. So I like, I mean, I did like zero off season until I got to college. Then they were like, you need to throw in the off season.
Yeah, that would make sense. might want to keep the arm slightly warm.
yeah, dude. Especially in the freaking, I mean, you know, I mean, I went to Brunswick. Like my school was in Brunswick, Maine. And like you were 2 hours north of me.
Yeah, it gets chilly.
It's cold and dark.
Yeah, it's sad. There's some dark winters up there, man.
Dude,
I'm
it's
still
bad.
There. I'm like back in Portland.
Oh, that's right.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun city though.
Yeah. You just re-signed with them?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't announced yet. I actually got in trouble for announcing it too early. Because they didn't
really?
Announce it. Yeah, they give me shit.
Oh, they're just like, whatever. You're taking the buzz away from our social medias.
Yeah, essentially they were. That's what they were saying. But they waited like, it was like, it's been like 2 months. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm fucking posting it. But
yeah. Oh, you signed 2 months ago and they still didn't say anything?
Yeah, because they're doing this weird thing. Like they're going week, like every Friday they're announcing a new signing, but they didn't start till like July. And I'm like, is there even enough weeks before the season where you guys are going to announce? So I don't know. I just didn't understand why they were taking so long, so I was just like, whatever, I'm gonna announce it. But you know, take the power in your own hands.
It is what it is.
Tell me about prep school. What was your prep school experience like?
It was good, dude. I look at prep school as probably like one of the best decisions of my life.
Yeah.
Even though when you're there, right, like no one absolutely I think loves every aspect of prep school when you're there. Especially, I mean, I went to Trinity Pauling, so that was That's an all guys school.
Okay.
And I repeated my sophomore year there. So I was there for 3 years. But just like what, I mean, that's the reason I got into so many other avenues is because I went to a school like that. So it was great for sports. I mean, you became a well-rounded athlete there because they mandated you play three sports.
Yes.
So like I played soccer in the fall, hockey in the winter, baseball in the spring. And it was like really split up like that. Like they didn't really let you train. So it was also the downfall, right? Like if you wanted to specialize in hockey and like all you wanted to do was train hockey,
Yeah.
like that's probably not the way to go.
No, it's
But
tough.
yeah, it's like hard to find ice in the fall. You play on your split season team, but it's
Yeah.
like, okay, like 2 games a weekend or something like that. That's it. Like
Yeah,
no practices really.
that was the way it was, except in the if you played on those like travel teams, like we did a weekend and there would be like 6 games in a weekend, 'cause those like tournament games and stuff, you have like three on the final day, and then you go home, you're like, all right, I go back to school, I should say, and you're like, all right, you know what, I need the week off. But in the
Yeah, I know.
springtime, there was they took the ice out, and like
Dude, nothing.
yeah, in the fall too, right? They don't put it into like mid-October, sometimes November. Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, it's interesting. It depends on what you want to do as an
Yeah.
athlete, right? Like, and it depends on what you want in a school. Like that's the question too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really like it's up to you. But for me, like that's why I'm always like prided myself in being like a well-rounded
For
athlete,
sure.
well-rounded student. And so like it worked for me well. I enjoyed playing other sports. Like we sucked at soccer, so I literally was like on varsity soccer, like started a couple of games. But I mean, it was a good experience because it being an all-guys school, this is probably the biggest shift for me is when you go to public school and like people who do theater are like
Yeah.
weird, right? Like
Yeah.
that's like the public school stigma. Like if you do theater, like there's something like I don't know, you're just weird.
Yeah, no,
Like you're
absolutely.
not, you know, athletes don't do theater. Like
Yeah.
that's a thing. So when you go there and you're going to an all-guys school, it was kind of like who gives a shit, you
Yeah,
know?
you just didn't,
Like
you
I'm not here
just,
to impress anyone.
that's a good point. I always had that in high school, like I was always super interested in doing theater, but it was never in the cards for a hockey player to do theater,
Yeah,
you know?
dude.
It was just
Oh my
like, no,
God,
I don't do
he'd be
that.
ostracized.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'd be a
Yeah,
loser, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
it's definitely, you definitely have that. I think that's cool that you did it in prep, that you were just like, screw
Yeah,
it.
oh, dude, it was. I mean, that was tough too. The thing that allowed you to do it was the structure. So you would still go to sports practices regularly. Like, I mean, I did the Winter Musical my junior year. That was like my first performance, and that was Sir Galahad in Spamalot.
Hell
And but
yeah.
I remember like it was like my public speaking teacher was like, dude, you need to do theater, and I was like,
Yeah.
no, absolutely not. I was
You're
like, I play
like,
sports and stuff, and he's like.
yeah, you can't. I'm an athlete, man. What do you mean
Yeah. And
theater?
he's like, no, don't worry about it. Like you can go to all your practices. It's not gonna interfere with
Yeah.
anything. Like you can come to rehearsal whenever you want. Just like
That's
be in the
cool.
show. And I was like, fuck it, okay. And that was the start.
That's super
And
cool.
yeah. I mean, you do get ostracized, right? Like
Yeah.
and I think we talked about this before a little bit, like off camera. Like
Yeah.
even no matter what it is, whether you're doing theater or you're creating online or you're vlogging or whatever it is, if you're doing something different and this is something that like
Yeah.
this is something that in hockey culture, it's like, I think it needs to change. And that's, you know,
Oh
well, I'm
yeah.
sure we'll get into it a little bit later, but like, I'm doing things now that are kind of trying, that are oriented towards
Yeah.
that. Where if you're doing something different, like, you can be looked at as a problem.
No, absolutely.
Like,
It
you're
shouldn't.
arrogant, you're
Yeah.
selfish. Like, something about it is like not team oriented when
Yeah.
all you're actually trying to do is bring light to how like beautiful the sport is and like the personalities within the sport.
No, it's exactly. And it's hurting the popularity of hockey to
Killing it, dude.
dude,
Killing
they're
it.
training they want to train you to be a robot. So it's like from a young age, you do something that's like different, or like, you know, I guess different's the best word to do it, that's not in the norm of a hockey player's day in the life, or you
Right.
say things that are not, you know, you say things in public or to other people that are not, you know, super humble, or like you
Right.
say something wrong, you get like punished from a young age in a
Right.
hockey locker room. You're like, oh, you can't do that, or but whether it's by the coach or the other guys.
Right.
And you, like, I remember just always kind of being aggravated by that, and I would kind of just, it would cause me to just kind of be quiet in a locker room,
Yeah.
because I was not I always had these interests that were kind of inside of me that I never did or I guess had the courage to do because of that.
Right.
So I just remember how hard it was for me to post a YouTube video
Oh,
where I
dude.
was like I actually I'll never forget when I posted it, it took me a full month to have the video and not post it. I put it out publicly for 2 days to then wait and let it and then then shared it to Instagram. And my body was like physically shaking because I was like so
Yeah.
nervous of what everyone was gonna think of like this college hockey player who just put a video out. I was like, why
Isn't that
is it that
crazy?
way? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it shouldn't be that way,
No.
right? Like that, it's actually sickening. It's like that's, I mean that is like a telltale sign of what you could consider toxic culture.
For
And
sure.
like you talk about it's either the coach or the other guys, and it's like I would post vlogs at Bowdoin and I
Yeah.
would get called in by the administration because of
Really?
something that was in the vlog, which is that's a whole nother issue with like that
Yeah.
school's super PC and
Sure.
like, you know, everything has to be perfectly perfect in the video. Like, no, you know, any sort of joke is like crossing the line. Like, I literally have
Yeah.
gotten, I got called into offices because of that, which is one thing. And that's like, I could care less, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna punish me, that sucks, but whatever. Because what everyone is really scared about is being ostracized from a locker room and a team. Like, that's the bigger thing, right? Like, you care about what your coach thinks, 'cause like, but when it comes down to it, if you can play, like they don't really
Yeah.
give a shit what you do off the ice. You care about being ostracized from a team. Like if you're not getting invited to parties or hanging out with the boys or like your
Work.
social life is
Yeah.
your team when you're in college and in high school.
100%. And if you're
So
like the loser, if you feel like the loser, there's nothing
yeah.
worse than it. You don't want to be that guy
100%.
that everyone just
100%.
talks about.
And it's hard with like finding culture. And I didn't play juniors, but I
Yeah.
know it's even worse in juniors than it is in college.
Yeah.
Like you still do fines in college, and we're not like we didn't technically fine people because I don't know, like, you know, rules and stuff, and you
Yeah.
gotta
There's
make
no
sure.
money.
Yeah, no money going around, but you
Yeah.
know, you just have like fine sessions. And I mean, you can get roasted in fine
Absolutely.
sessions, like really, really badly. So that's where all the fear comes from, and that's why like hockey right now lacks so much individuality. So much branding. Nobody's commodifying themselves as like an independent brand, like beyond their team.
Yeah.
And that's why it lacks growth. Like, I think my favorite comparison that I've been making recently is like, are people in China that are fans of basketball, are they fans of the Lakers or are they fans of LeBron James?
Yeah, it's LeBron.
Like,
They know
they're
LeBron. Yeah.
exactly. Like, everyone knows LeBron.
He's
People
a
might not even
celebrity.
know 100%. And so it's like these sports grow on the backs of individuals. They
Yeah.
don't grow on the backs of teams, you
No.
know?
In the upper
Like
management.
it's crazy.
They're
Like
all.
people to think like Tampa Bay, right, back to back, and like they're back in the Cup Finals and they're like going for third straight. But like you could ask a random person on the street in the United States like
They don't know them.
about Tampa Bay and they'd have no idea.
Yeah. They don't
You
know. They
know?
probably wouldn't be able to name a single player on the team. And they'd be like, wait, there's hockey in Tampa?
Yeah,
Like the
like
average
how.
person. Of course, the die like hockey fans will know, but it's like you ask,
Right.
you grab a random person on the street, they're not going to know someone on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right, but if you grab a random person, like, right, so if you grab a random person on the street, you say, hey, do you know who Steven Stamkos
Yeah.
is? They'd be like, hell
They're
no.
like, what?
You ask him if they know who LeBron James is, or even like, you know, Dwayne Wade, who's
Yeah,
retired now, or like
right.
someone like that, they'll be like, oh,
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, like Stamkos is one of like the best guys in the league the last 15 years or however long he's been in the
Right.
league.
I'm same to be said, you know, like McDavid, Matthews, but I guarantee you, someone
Yeah.
who's not an avid hockey follower would have no idea who these people are.
They probably wouldn't know McDavid,
Yeah. And
which is
that's, I
wild.
mean, if people in the hockey world don't see that as an issue, that's a massive problem.
No, it is. I always think I like to compare it to how there's no celebrity in hockey. Like every other
Right.
sport, their top athletes are celebrities. Like Tom Brady is a legend. Like everyone
Yeah.
knows Tom Brady. He's a goat or you
Yeah.
hate him, you know? Like whatever
Yeah.
it is,
But you know
he's a
him.
celebrity. Everyone knows him. They know his wife, his
Yeah.
family. He's kissing his son, you know? It's a huge deal. But like you go to hockey and I'm like, who is a? There's no celebrity in hockey. Like, what's the closest thing you can find? Like, maybe Ovechkin. But it's
I
like,
guess.
is he really like it's so then I always compare it to Conor McGregor, and hockey always promotes this like robotic interview. They if you show personality, you're gonna get shit on by the media, and then you're gonna get called into the office and be like, hey, you can't say things like that. You know, it's a bad
Right.
look.
You get fined. Yeah.
Yeah, by the team and by like the coaches are gonna be pissed. Upper management's gonna tell you,
Right.
they're gonna slap you on the wrist and be like, don't do that again. But you take Conor McGregor, who's arguably the most famous athlete in the world. He's not Conor McGregor because he's a nice, humble guy. You know, he's an arrogant piece of shit and yells
Right.
funny things, and everyone loves him. It's
Yeah.
like you
Even at this
need.
point when he's like probably never gonna win another fight and he's still
Yeah.
like talking all that
Yeah.
shit.
And he's still the most famous athlete out there because
Yeah.
he just has that charisma. And when you shut down someone's charisma and personality, it's not good for them, but it's not good for the sport either. Like let it shine. Like I feel like hockey needs a little more controversy, you know? Like as bad as it is to say, but like they need something. Someone to say something stupid, you know what?
Look at what Conor McGregor did for the sport of UFC.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Dude, that sport was like people like you think of UFC now, it's like, oh, Saturday night UFC, oh, I'm paying for the fights. Yeah, let's bet on a few people. Like it didn't used to be that mainstream where everyone's
No.
like, oh, you watching the fights tonight? Like Conor McGregor made it mainstream.
He did 100%.
And that's like you talk about like hurting the growth of hockey. I read this article and I was looking at the statistics in comparison, like the NBA in comparison to the NHL, and like they were grossing around the same thing in the 90s. Like the
Yeah.
leagues were similar size and they were making the same amount of money. And what you saw over the next, 3 decades was hockey basically just plateau
Yeah.
and the
You can make go
NBA
down, dude.
boom. It can go down,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's crazy. Gary Vee made a post about it once. He does those things like overrated or underrated, and I just happened to click on it one day and someone said like the NHL or hockey. And he was like underrated because hockey has terrible marketing. He's like the NHL and hockey is like a super it's like one it's the most entertaining sport. Like even Gary Vee said this, and he's not a hockey guy, but he's like it's one of the
Yeah.
most entertaining sports, but they have terrible marketing, where it's like it used to be, say like football, baseball, basketball is ahead of it. It used to be absolutely the fourth sport in popularity wise, but he's like now it's dropping. I would even say six, seven, eight, because
Yeah.
it's just like
Yeah.
obviously UFC, MMA surpassed it, like boxing's
Dude,
ahead,
soccer's officially passed it. I saw
soccer's for
that.
sure.
I put that in a TikTok the other day and
Yeah,
someone's like, soccer did not pass hockey in
it
American
did.
popularity. I'm like, yes, it did.
It
Yes,
did.
it did.
Like obviously worldwide because it's huge in Europe, but in America, it's seemingly past it in
Yeah, and I
popularity.
think that also has like I think you're taking when those studies are done, they're
Yeah.
not taking into account like just MLS versus NHL. They're
Yeah.
taking into account the actual national popularity of the sport, like how many kids are signing up to play it,
Yeah.
across the entire country. Like people also forget hockey's still like mostly, I mean, there's teams everywhere, but it's still mostly for the youth, a northeastern sport.
Yeah, it is, and it's so expensive to play it too, where it's like soccer, you just go outside and kick a soccer ball and you can get good at it. Like
Right.
hockey, you need to buy all this equipment, the stick, the skates, the helmet, you know, it's just a lot of money there. It's so hard to access, and it's hard to access an ice rink unless you have some money. So that's an
Yeah.
issue too, where it's just too hard to access it. But if you worked on growing the popularity of it, then the urge and the willingness to go buy it would be more for like a parent
Yeah.
to spend the money, and be like, oh, my kid's really wants to play hockey, we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
But
100%. I think like the ice time is one thing. Like that's something that's, it's pretty difficult. I
yeah.
mean, I'm down in Tennessee right now. A lot of people play roller.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's less of a financial commitment. Like you're not going to be paying for ice, which is, ridiculous, especially in these hotter states. That's something you can't really do a lot about because it costs so much to upkeep. The upkeep on ice costs a lot, right?
Yeah.
But one thing that I think is just kind of starting to begin, but like needs it, there's a lot of room for growth, is this gear does not need to cost this much.
No, it doesn't.
And it's absurd that, I mean, it really comes from the fact that, I mean, it's not a monopoly because you got two big dogs, but what do you call it, an oligopoly or something like that?
Yeah.
where there's like, you know, they basically run the market, right? So you have CCM and Bauer. I mean, sure, you have Sherwood, who's,
They
I'm pretty
use.
sure they're not even.
I feel like they might still be around, but no one buys it.
Yeah, Sherwood. Like they just did. I
Yeah.
saw them just do. They're trying to do. I mean, they're taking the right approach. They're starting to do all these shoots with influencers. I saw them shoot with the
That's
hockey
smart.
guys
I
and Pavel
actually I did see
Barbour.
that. That's right.
Yeah, but and I just I'm actually I just started working with I'm really excited. I just started working with Verbero. You remember Verbero from back in the day? They did like hockey socks that had like the V's on the back of them
Oh,
and
yeah.
like that you'd wear under your skates.
Yeah.
So Andy Sutton, like 15-year NHL vet, he was
Yes.
all over the place, played for like six, seven different teams. He just purchased it in 2019 and he's like really revamping it, doing all like he's doing all types of gear, all custom gear. They actually have like the lightest stick on the market right now that they're
Damn.
doing like custom graphics on, and then they're still designing skates, but they got gloves, pants, you know, they do custom jerseys and socks and everything.
Yeah, going out.
But like he's a huge advocate of it too. It's like there needs to be, if there's more people competing from like a equipment
Yeah.
standpoint, because popularity of hockey is increasing, right? So if you have the demand increasing, like more people need gear, then you're going to have more people that are coming into the industry trying to fulfill that demand, right?
Yeah,
Like as
100%.
demand increases, people are going to see more opportunity. This is like
Yep.
your 101 economics that you can get when you go to college. And then
Yeah.
more suppliers will come in and they'll even out that price. Hopefully, you get so many suppliers that the price is going to lower for people.
Yeah, you'd think.
But I mean, Bauer and CCM have such a stronghold on it, and
They
their
buy every
margins,
company.
like, dude, if people saw the margins for these companies, like
Yeah.
they'd feel like they're getting ripped off every time they bought a
Oh, for
stick.
sure. 100%.
Yeah, it's insane.
It sucks, but yeah, that is one issue. Obviously, the other issue being like not letting people, like a player or a guy, express themselves. In particular, like for a social media guy who like wants to, like a guy who wants to be different or show, like, because there are a lot of creative people in hockey, and we're in any sport, but I like, obviously I have my experience in hockey in particular, where I see like there's a handful of guys on every team where they're super creative, whether it's they can sing, they do art, like whatever it may be, whether they do videos, and they just don't tell anyone. They're afraid to tell anyone. They just never. And like so many people on my team even would come up to me and tell me, because I'm the idiot that's doing it in the public eye, you know, so they'll come up and feel comfortable to tell me like what they do or show me what they do, and they'll never do it because the loud minority in the locker room, because they're the loud ones, shut it down. What do you think? How do you change that, in your opinion, like going forward? Like, what are things that would need to change?
I think that, well, so I have like two answers to this. So like in my personal experience, how
Yeah.
that kind of changed is when I started making vlogs, I literally had teammates slap the camera out of my hand.
Really?
Like when I started making vlogs, like that's how bad it was. Like it was
Wow.
literally like, what the fuck is this kid doing? You know?
Yeah.
And that was when I mean, I was getting help. Dude, I got healthy scratched every game my freshman year. So it's like I had some free time, you know?
Yeah.
Like
So
I
you were
was
the
like, oh,
young
I'm
guy
gonna.
on the team too.
I was, you know, yeah, I guess so. I repeated a year, but I actually could have started school a year later. Like that's where my birthday was. So I was like almost a natural freshman. Like when
Yeah.
even at the Division III level at this point in NESCAC, like dude, everyone and their brother's an age out. Like
Yeah,
it's
it's old.
crazy. But yeah, dude, it was nuts. And then I started doing it. So then I actually started vlogging with the baseball team. That's like the
Okay.
first time where I was actually putting out finished vlogs. And people around, I mean, tiny school, Bowdoin's 1,800 students, people around there, they started thinking it was cool. And like girls across team started wanting to be in vlogs and like stuff like that. And so then, like, once it started to kind of get cool around campus, then the hockey guys were like, oh, yeah.
I want to be
Like,
cool too.
okay. Yeah, we'll
Yeah.
be in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be in this vlog. Like, people are actually watching
Yeah.
these. Like, I guess at one point, people started making drinking games to the vlogs. Like, it was pretty.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it was fun. And then, so that's how that changed, right? Like when people actually see the potential of these things, like when you're
Yeah.
actually sharing the personalities of who you are, who the people are on your team, and you're developing characters around that and kind of storytelling, like these behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
Like whether you call it or not, like Pat, every time you do a behind the scenes vlog, like you're telling the story of what it's like to be a professional hockey player at that level, or Definitely. You're telling the story of what it's supposed to be like, or what it's like to be a Division I hockey player for the University of Maine. And beyond that, what your teammates are like and kind of what that entire dynamic is within the team, right? And when people see that that's cool and it's actually received well and it's things, this is content and these personalities that people want to see, they start to change their minds pretty quick. And the people that don't are the ones that are actually the most jealous, wishing they were doing something like that.
They just don't have the courage to do it.
Yeah, I think honestly, like you said people that people would come to you and feel safe, you know, telling them about some artistic ability they have or some other dimension, because right, everyone looks at hockey players as one-dimensional characters, like athletes. But I think more people like, and I'm not saying we're like the saviors of the sport, but I think more people that are outspoken like us, that actually are an outlet for these athletes to come to and be like, hey, what would you think if I like shared this? And if, you know, if we're someone who's like, if we're that one voice that's pushing them to do it, and like it gives them enough support to like say, fuck it, I'm putting something out there.
For sure.
Like that could be the difference. So I honestly think like individual creator to individual creator, like, the more you have people putting themselves out there and supporting kind of that avenue of people individualizing themselves, you know, showing more dimensions to themselves, actually acting as an individual or a person, the better it's going to get, because you're seeing more and more success stories, right?
Yeah, there is. There definitely is. Where there isn't, though, which pisses me off. So I was obviously like, as a D1 college hockey player, I was the only one to do. I was the first to do it. And I actually, my brother's teammates actually would verbally said to him, like, I thought your brother was like an idiot. Like, I was like, what is this guy doing? And then fast forward a year and he's like, all of a sudden he's like, oh, he's a genius. Said this to my brother. And I was like, what a douchebag one. But like, sure. But so it's like, yeah, it does take like some to a person to see like a success for it to like be okay. Right. Where in your head, you know that what the potential is already. So you're like, you've already seen that. And that's the problem, is like when you're scared to do it, not everyone can see your vision. So if you go tell someone about it, they'll be like, yeah, like shut up. You're an idiot for that. But so just do it, honestly, is like the point. If you're listening to this and you're like college athlete, or a hockey player in particular, like, just don't be afraid to do it. Cause I'm still now the only D1 college hockey player to ever do it. Like, no one has done it since me. And it just pisses me off in a way. Cause I would get so many like DMs from high end hockey players that would be like, hey, I want to make a vlog. I'd be like, do it. Nothing. They haven't done it. It's crazy. Like, because I think it's harder if you're at a high level, like college in at any, whether it's D1 or D3, but it's just like, there's that pressure that you need to be a hockey player because it's a high level of hockey. And it's like,
right.
But at the same time, man.
And like, that you're going to be looked at as not serious if there's like, if this is another thing that you're doing, right? I mean, because it is a time, I mean, Pat, I'm sure you can speak to it. You've been more consistent on YouTube, way more consistent than I ever was. Like, it's a time commitment. It's another job. So like, if you're a Division I athlete, you know, you're already treating the sport like a job. It definitely is a time commitment, and sometimes that can be what like dissuades someone from doing it. But if it's something that you're passionate about and something that like you're actually interested in, like, the work should never be something that dissuades you. So more often times than not, like what you're saying, what it points to is that people are just scared to take that first step. It does suck, because like you've seen the success of it, but for some reason, like, hockey culture just kind of continues to stay on the same route.
They don't want to be that guy to do it, even though they want to. I do like hope it changes. I just want to see more people doing it. Like, I don't know. I do know how hard it is, but like, look at me as an example. Like, I was a draft pick, and like, easily that's the biggest pressure of all, like, I'm a draft pick. I'm supposed to be this hockey player. And what, it, like, how can I go do something creative that's like weird? And I honestly just said, fuck it. Like,
Yeah.
and if I'm just saying, like, if I can do that, then why can't you? If it's something,
Right.
and I promise you, you'll be happier as a person if you get that, like, weight off your shoulders and just do what you want to do and be who you are rather than pretend to be like that generic, like, hockey guy who's kind of puts the douchebag persona on the, and then the humble
Yeah.
persona in the public, like,
Bro,
robot.
you figure out who your friends are real quick when you
Oh,
do
yeah.
something like that, right? Like, but that's what's great about it. I think like Andy Sutton just told me, said this the other day. He's like, you know, if you live by the truth, you never have to remember a lie. Like, if you live by
Yeah.
just who you are, right? Like, if you
Yeah.
just be honest with yourself, then you don't have to fake like this character that you don't actually want to be.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna have fake friends around you because like you're showing who you truly are. And so you're gonna see who stays and see who goes.
Yeah, which is important.
And there's value in having that small circle,
Yes.
right? Like sure, you can be the most popular guy, have a million friends. Like that's great, but only two or three of those are real friends.
Yeah.
You know, but stick around through thick and thin. The rest of them are acquaintances that are also in love with either your popularity or the fact that you're a good player or whatever the hell it is, you know.
Yeah.
So,
It's
yeah, I mean,
you just
dude, it's a
hope,
rocky
yeah, you just
road.
hope it can change. Like, honestly, 'cause there's gonna be people, like, not even speaking up, probably watching this video just waiting, being like, I should do it, I should do it. And they're like, I just hope
Yeah.
that they do, you know? Like, I hope that
Yeah.
more people just take the, just have the courage to do it and, like, don't get so blinded by, like, what you're supposed to be. Like, I hope hockey, I feel like hockey's even more than other sports, like, in the locker room, more so, like, you have to be this way. Like, I feel like there's more, this is, well, there's definitely more. There's more YouTubers and TikTokers, whatever you want to call it, social media guys in other sports, like, way more.
Oh,
So much.
100%.
Especially
Like the
football.
mixtape culture of
Yeah.
basketball, like
Yeah.
everybody in high school has a mixtape going on Instagram and TikTok, and like dude, Bronny James is on his story 24/7. He's going live. Like this
Yeah.
guy's a high school
They get
basketball
it.
player. I mean, baseball, like the baseball culture, the amount of baseball TikTokers I see
It's a
breaking down
lot.
their bullpens, like the Prince of JUCO, the King of JUCO, like all of these guys that
Yeah.
are making baseball content, you know, with like professional leaguers down to high schoolers and them collaborating together. And it's like, it humanizes these athletes, right?
Yes.
Like if you see Austin Matthews like going out, because this happens, like I know that there are high level high school players that train with professional players, you know, on the same sheet doing skill sessions together. Like I know that happens, but you never see it.
Yeah.
But it's like something like that humanizes these heroes, like these people at the top of their sport. It's like, oh dude, he's just another kid.
Yeah,
Yeah, he
he's
made
just a
it.
guy.
Like he's a freak. Like he's insanely talented, but like he's just a dude.
He's a guy who works really hard.
Right.
And if you
And
show people that, that's like, show people, have, especially if you're at the highest level, you can have someone film you easily. It doesn't have to be
dude,
you filming yourself, you
it
know?
doesn't even cost like for them it costs nothing. Like
Yeah.
you could have it for them, like if you're at the highest level, you could literally have a videographer following you around 24/7 and it would cost you like, I don't know, a couple of games, maybe a game pay, like games pay, like for a
Yeah.
freaking entire season. You know what I mean? Like that's what's crazy about it. Like if you had if I had the financial ability to have a videographer following
Oh.
me around 24/7,
Be so
oh my
easy.
God. Oh my God. My content would be so consistent, I would
Yeah.
never have to feel guilty again
No,
for
I
not
did.
putting something out.
I know. I think the same way. I'm like, man, because vlogging yourself gets so stale, and because it's so
Dude.
much work. If you could
Exhausting.
afford to just pay someone, hey, just film me and edit my videos, you know, it's like, how would it make a difference? But that's
Dude. I mean, like,
creator
just people don't
problems.
even understand. People don't understand,
No.
like, if you're doing something and you're moving the camera to multiple spots and you're walking past the camera
Oh,
out the door and then you have to come back in and get the camera and then move it out to wherever you're
for a
walking to.
five-second clip.
Oh
It's
my God, dude.
a
Yeah. Like literally
five
all is work.
seconds.
And it's not like fun work. It's like tedious. Like, okay, I just
Yeah.
walked past the camera 20 feet. Now I gotta go back and get it so I can set up the next shot to make it
Yeah.
look like I'm not just holding the camera all day.
Yeah.
Even though I am holding the camera all day.
Yeah. It's
But add some dynamic to it.
tough. Let's talk your social media in particular, and kind of how it's led you down different avenues. So I know you started on YouTube by making vlogs, but where you really kind of had your biggest success was TikTok. So were you on TikTok early? How did you get started on that?
Yeah, dude, I was on it pretty early. I don't even like the first one I made was like a duet to a sound, and it was the dumbest video. I hope I deleted it by now, but it gave me the con like it did kind of well. It gave me the confidence to like keep making videos on TikTok. It wasn't until but it wasn't until that next that happened during the summer, and it wasn't until that next season really what like started to pop off was we did it celebration compilations.
Oh, right. I remember those.
Yeah, so we were doing like just like all the most embellished hockey celebrations you can think of, and we just did like part one, part two, part three. We kept doing them, and those were literally at the skates where it was like healthy scratches, get a morning practice
The
like
Aces.
on Fridays. Yeah. And I was just like, all right, if I'm gonna be out here, like I might as well. I got open ice after this practice, like I might as well fuck around and like
Make something
do
of it.
something. Yeah, like I mean, I'm having fun, right? So, and I'd like convince. So that was easier to convince the guys to be in, right? Like they had their helmet on, like no one knew who they
They're
were
comfortable on the
really.
ice. They're just
Yeah,
doing hockey. They
exactly.
know to do hockey. More
Right.
comfortable.
So, like those started. I mean, I think the first one we did got like 2.7 million views.
It's
And
crazy
then you're
how
just
that
like,
happens.
just keep doing that, I guess. Like this is pretty good buzz. So I think we did like, I don't know, met it on seven parts, and then kind of stuck with that hockey niche because that's the fastest way to grow. If you don't know this, like TikTok hates variation, which is just part of my problem now. It's like I'm kind of I love creating social media around hockey, but like I'm ready to also step away from it. Like I'm still doing stuff in hockey. I'm still doing stuff with U Stoked, like that's a wax company, and I'm working with Verbero, which does hockey equipment, stuff like that. And like I'm gonna be doing, their content. But like I don't want myself to necessarily be known as like just a hockey creator.
I feel that.
Yeah. I like on a deep level, eh?
Trust me.
Like because it's like it really is restricting, right? Like there's gonna come a point where I mean, or just if you have interests outside of hockey. Fuck, like it's normal, like I have interests in movies and acting and like comedy, and even though I'm not that funny, like I'm situationally funny, but if I wrote something, like I could not be funny if I tried, but
I
like
feel like you could surprise yourself, like when you're
you
in that
think?
moment, like being a character that's not you, like you don't feel you need to hold back in any way, because when you're playing a character, like you're making fun of people that you know in a sense, or people that you've experienced with, and you're like, I know they're stupid, like what they're the way that they're acting is so dumb that I'm gonna exaggerate it, so you act like them. You're not afraid
Right, you
to like be
true.
stupid and embarrassing, because like it's a for comedic purpose.
Right, I think that's where I think I'm okay with the acting side of it because I think that's reactionary. Like, okay, I'm taking on a role. Like, I think I could play that. But I think if I were to write, like you write scripts like for some of your videos that are like fucking hilarious. Like the one, dude, one of my favorite ones is like your brothers. Like when you like went to all your brothers and like the
I
people in
liked
your
that
family. Holy shit, dude,
one.
that was so funny. But like, I think for me, like I don't know where that line is that I should toe. Like where I'm like, I'm gonna go past and people are like, well, that's just kind of fucked up.
No, absolutely.
But nonetheless, like having it's okay to have other interests, right? So, but I mean, yeah, TikTok kind of took on that hockey player, and then I got in really good shape at one point. So then it became like thirst trap hockey, and then it became like disco roller skating, and then so it's kind of taken on like short shorts, crop top, disco roller skating, but like has some takes on hockey. And then recently, I've just been, posting if I feel like posting because I've got so many other things going on that it's not. I want to get back and I want to be consistent on TikTok. Like it is a focus of mine, but it's not the make or break for me. Like if I'm not posting every day on TikTok, I'm not. It's not like I'm losing mega like major opportunities, in the realm that I want to head, if that makes
What
sense.
so what is the realm that you want to head?
So I have like a I've I have like a two-part answer for this. I think like the immediate realm is I want to do more serious, like serious commercial acting. Like I want to be in feature films. I'd love to land a TV series. Like that's the goal. And like last year, I had the opportunity to lead in a feature film. I played a San Diego surfer, in a movie called What's My Name Again, and it should be premiering hopefully at a film festival this September, but. We're also figuring out distribution, so it should be coming out pretty soon, which is exciting.
Oh yeah.
But I think in the like the immediate direction for me is acting. That's where I want to go, which is completely detached from like hockey content and hockey creation.
Sure.
And then I definitely see myself. I started my own production company, so I'm doing a lot of freelance work, downtown here, working with musicians and artists and stuff like that. But I think I definitely see myself as more of like in the long term, like directing and producing and doing things to that extent behind
Yeah,
the camera.
that's
I
dope.
also like I want to be in front of the camera. Like I want to like live that art form of becoming another character and like completely absorbing yourself into playing that role, a
Yeah.
role, whatever it is. And like I'm taking acting classes now, like weekly, and trying to. Have a manager out in LA. His name's Dino May, and so I've been working with him. And so that's what I'm trying to get going. I definitely need to get out west, but I think long term, like something with my production company or something
Yeah.
in that
Oh
realm.
yeah. I think we have very similar goals. We always
I was gonna,
talk about
yeah.
collaborating, and so we got to make it happen. We got to link. We
I
got to
know,
link.
dude.
Cuz
We
like
get a link.
we have a same like long-term like goal, I feel like. And just
Yeah, because you were in a movie last winter, right?
yeah, and it sadly got like postponed indefinitely because we had a COVID outbreak on it was in
Yeah.
November, December 2020, and we had a huge
Right.
outbreak. And so I don't know if it'll ever come back, but that sorry, that gave me such a confidence, like, because I got that, it was a hockey movie, and I got the role based off of me making, and I had just started doing them then, like comedic hockey videos on YouTube. And
Right.
just the fact that it got me that and like had those people believe in me was like, damn, so there's something there. And so
Right.
then I really kind of started making skits and sketches more. So it's like, and that's like where I'm most happy with my content. Like when I'm doing that stuff, I'm like thriving in that moment. Like I love it. Where I get a little bored now with like vlogging hockey. I love making fun of
Yeah.
hockey. Like I love acting
Yeah.
the douchebag hockey player for comedic purposes. I think it's fun. I think it's hilarious. Like, but to do like my long-term goal is not to be like the hockey guy, like the guy who talks or just vlogs hockey about his career and stuff. Like that bores me, you know? Which I feel like you kind
Right.
of have that similar mindset where you're like, you don't want to just be the hockey guy on TikTok. You want to show people what you can do and like
Yeah.
your creative,
I
like,
mean, dude, I don't even have a career to talk about,
yeah.
like, I'm a beer leaguer, like
Yeah.
straight up,
Yeah.
So, like you still have a career to talk about, but I definitely hear what you're saying. Like after you do something so much, like if you do something so many times, like it becomes formulaic.
Yeah.
And when something becomes formulaic, it can get boring,
Oh, absolutely.
right? Like you've made, I don't even know how many vlogs,
Yeah.
but if you're just vlogging, to you, even though they're different, they feel the same.
Yeah, to you it's the same. Because you're just vlogging your same day that feels the same every single day.
Right.
Especially
Like
in the hockey
to
season.
other people, it's like, yeah, to other people, like people look for minute differences. Sorry, my dog is starting to
There
whine because he wants to go
you go.
outside. Like people look for minute differences and like maybe something that you do different in preparation for a game or like
Yeah.
oh you hang out with this guy before or this guy after which is different than last time, but like in all reality nothing's really changing, and
No.
especially in like how you're creating the video, the editing's the same, and that becomes
Yeah.
tedious because it's like oh okay this and then my intro and then this and then my okay
Yeah.
outro, and then you're like fuck okay I made a vlog, which is great. Like it feels good to put something out there and get like you get the satisfaction from the viewers that are watching, you
Yeah.
get the likes, you get comments, and like you dude like I don't even think you've put out that many TikToks, but your TikToks have kicked ass when you put them out there, and like that's what can be dangerous about that app is like immediate satisfaction. It's
Yeah.
like thousands of people like.
And when you don't, and when,
like,
because TikTok's unpredictable, like when you have one flop, you're like, fuck. Get all
dude,
sad.
yeah.
Like, damn it.
And it like destroys your identity. Like, oh, I'm not that good. I'm
yeah.
not that good.
Dude, it's yeah. tough. Like, because, like you're saying, the repetitiveness of it and like, vlogging, like, I know that if I vlog hockey, that it will do well on YouTube, but
right.
it's not what I want to do, honestly. It's just not. So it's
right.
like, I had, and I'm finally at the point now where I'm okay with kind of like taking a step backwards in views to go forward with what I want to do, because
oh, yeah,
which is a hard thing to do, man. Because you get so,
dude, 100%.
It's so like you, because once you have had that success of like getting views, then you don't, because it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
What you're typically putting out, you're like, oh fuck, but right. it's like, whatever, you know, like if you're not enjoying it, don't do it. But it's like, so that repetitiveness is definitely tough. And to know that, like, it's easy to get stuck in that pattern if you know you're gonna get views, I feel like. And that
yeah.
like the vlog, I always get these comments where like, do more like game day vlogs. I'm like, What do you think I'm doing? Like, a game day is
yeah.
the most repetitive day. I do
yeah.
nothing on game day. Like,
yeah, it's the most boring day. Probably
do the same exact thing every game day, and everyone's like, more
yeah.
game day vlogs. I'm like, man, like, fuck off. Like,
yeah,
I'm glad you enjoy them. Like I do appreciate the people watching them, but it's like, man, like, I can't do more game day vlogs.
Of course.
I don't know. Like, it's the same thing, but
well yeah, dude. I mean, you wouldn't be making. You wouldn't be making the game day vlogs like if your fans didn't enjoy them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it's come to. It's like you make them now because you've collected this fan base set, and they
yeah.
all support you in making this style of video. So you're like, okay, because I want to make them happy, because like
yeah.
you know, I look at myself as a creator now, like I am gonna take that into account. Like my audience wants this, right?
Yeah.
And there's a fine line to find with that. Like if you don't care anything about your audience and you're just sharing things, like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to be successful. Like, you do have to listen
yeah.
to a certain extent to like what people are 100%. Saying. But the note that you made is an important note for anyone who's looking to get into this. Is like, if you develop a following being a hockey player and doing
yeah.
game day vlogs, you have to realize that if your long-term goal is to have a cooking channel.
Yeah.
Like you developing 300,000 followers from doing hockey stuff is going to have absolutely no carryover.
Yeah.
When you decide it's time to start doing a cooking channel.
Yeah,
so
it really doesn't.
You're going to have to take massive steps backwards, if not start all over
yeah.
to start a new niche. And like, you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
The good thing is, if you start creating one specific style and you learn about the algorithms of these platforms, and you learn about, you know, you're learning about editing, you're learning about different camera functions and different styles and different lenses and whatnot, right? Or just how to be on camera, right? The first time you're talking to a camera, you're like, God fucking damn it, this feels weird. And then once you've been vlogging for 3 months, you're like, that's my best friend. I talk to that guy all the time. Like,
yeah.
I talk to him like a human, and it's just a lens,
yeah, yeah.
which is like insane. like when you learn all of those things, then it is repetitive. So it's like if you now, right, you now want to go, you want to go in an act direction, you enjoy writing skits, you enjoy doing
yeah.
all that. If you didn't start by doing all of this creative things
yeah.
with what you were passionate at the time, which is hockey specifically,
yeah.
then you wouldn't have the arsenal and the tools to expand into
exactly.
other areas. So you've enabled yourself. Not only have you gained a following, and you have something to fall back on. Like, if you just wanted to be a hockey creator the rest of your life, you could,
yeah,
and you could probably start, you know, you could keep going with hockey specific podcasts and, like, you know, be the next Spit and Chicklets and then brand yourself and have like custom jerseys going out, and
yeah.
you could do all that, right? You know, drop in at clinics and give, you could
absolutely.
Probably get paid to be a speaker at these different clinics and camps, and, you know, go like, all that could be there.
Yeah.
But now you also have the ability to go and try whatever else you want to do, because you know how to operate in this
no,
space.
Absolutely. That's so true. That's one of the things, like, I was doing that podcast with Trav Oilers there, and it was so hockey specific that it bored me. Like, I was bored by my own voice talking. I'm like, cause I don't, like, as easy as I say it's easy, cause I've already built like the hockey audience. Like, as easy as like would be to be the hockey guy and just do hockey, talk hockey all the time. It's not me. It's not what I'm not gonna be that guy. That's for someone else, you know? Maybe that's for Trav.
Right.
And but at the same time, like you said, like if I didn't do all that vlogging, like if you honestly, if I showed you like videos of me doing like interviews in high school and just doing videos in high school, you would be like, that's not the same person. Like I
Dude, I
was
think I've seen. Have you included that in a couple vlogs, like you
I
in high
did it.
school?
I did it when I did a reacting to my high school hockey highlights. I did a I posted the interview in there. It was bad, man. Like but I cringe at myself, but at the same time I'm like, damn, like I've completely like grown, and that's because I just started talking to a camera. And then
100%.
all of a sudden, like because of that, I had like a baseline acting ability because I was able to talk to a camera. And then it's like over the years, like I start like my vlogs were always kind of me trying, like not even trying, it's just being sarcastic and witty. That's just the way I talk. And because I was doing that and trying to make people laugh like in a vlog, then it kind of transfers over to me doing like comedy sketches, because it's like, all right, this is was like making people laugh. Like there's a baseline skill set there that I wouldn't have had if I didn't do
100%.
that vlog. And that's with anyone, like who do like you doing video too. Like you probably had a baseline acting ability. Like you got casted in a movie because you're just used to talking to a camera. You know, like you just know how to like express emotion in that moment.
100%. And
Cool.
it's like that's gonna play for you. That's why no matter what you're doing, like, and first of all, if you're chasing a passion, like, it's okay to be switching. Like right now, I'm working jobs, right? I'm like, I'm working for other companies and I'm working freelance jobs. And like, but if you're chasing something that you're passionate about, it's not abnormal to be switching jobs or positions like every couple of months,
No,
because you're finding something that's going to get you one step closer and one step closer. But the main thing you need to do if you're doing something like that, like if you're jumping from topic to topic or job to job or whatever, is to take, you have to take every morsel. My dog's singing. You have to take every morsel of that job, of what you can get from it,
yeah.
and use it as you go on, right?
Just building the
It's
skills.
like 100%, because like you as an editor now, that makes you more approachable to like, you know, you talk about this from a business standpoint, it makes you more approachable to brands. If you know how to edit and you know how to sell something, like no one's gonna like no one people look at Matthews right now because he's Austin Matthews, right? But no one's gonna look at just a normal Division One hockey player and be like, "Holy shit, we got to partner with this kid because he's got this many points in Division One hockey." No, they might look at a Division One hockey player that does well and knows how to edit and can sell a product and can talk to a camera because they're getting an all-in-one package there,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
So, and as you go on, that's gonna continue, right? Like you go on, you go into the acting world. You might start getting brand deals for, you know, like teeth whitening, or you might start getting brand deals for, you know, some greens thing that you drink to start every day so you can feel great, or something, you know, something more lifestyle-ish, because now, you know, you're in the acting space or in the comedy space, or, you know, maybe you're supposed to promote some comedy club. And they look at you and everything you're able to do. So the fact that you are a full production team, like in-house, and you can put out attractive ads for these companies, like it's just gonna serve you well in the long run.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think I saw an interview where Portnoy was talking about the Call Her Daddy. I forget the lead blonde girl
Alex,
name.
yeah.
Yeah. How he was like, she had a reel for her podcast or whatever. And he was like, who edited this? And she was like, I did. And he was like, oh, you're hired.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause he didn't have to worry about an editing team or whatever. Like, she had skills. So it
Right.
definitely can go a long way. And that's a great point for anyone also listening who feels like, oh, I don't know how to do that, so I can't do that. I have to find someone to do that for me. That whoever has that mindset is like, don't wait for other people, because it's gonna take way longer than you realize. Like, you just kind of have to take matters into your own hands a lot of times. Like, I don't know for you, like, did you how much editing experience you had when you started vlogging and stuff?
Zero.
Yeah, same. Like, I learned. I was on my iPhone. I look at the first video I posted. I'm like, dude, this. I had these really long, slow transitions and shit. I'm like, and you just learn trial and error and YouTube tutorials, and you just all of a sudden you know how to edit. like fast forward 3 year, 4 years now for me, and it's like, damn, like yeah, now I know how to edit way better than I did then just from doing it. So
Yeah.
that's a good point.
Dude, I started on a free program called DaVinci Resolve,
Yeah.
and it was like my computer crashed like every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, now like I look at my edits for like a restaurant promo and I'm like, holy shit, like I'm actually not that bad at this
Yeah,
anymore.
and you know how to use a camera, you have that like cinematic eye now of like what looks good in like a camera. It's, and you just learn how to
Oh,
do it.
dude, YouTube University, baby. That's what
Yeah.
that's the thing, too. And it's like, oh, like I need to make enough money to pay for an editor and a videographer.
Yeah.
No, just go on YouTube, look it up, get a basis. Bro, our cameras film in 4K. Like,
Yeah.
first of all, you don't even need to be putting things out in 4K. It's ridiculous
Yeah,
if
no.
people are doing that. It's like we watch
Yeah.
everything on our phones. Like
Yeah.
HD's good, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, just use your phone and start.
Just do it.
Because you're actually gonna learn through the process of doing. You're not gonna like you can't learn everything from just watching like
No.
100 YouTube videos and then all of a sudden be a pro editor. Like you
Yeah.
need to do it a piece at a time. And every time you edit, you're gonna learn something a little bit new, and then you're gonna put that out, and then you're gonna go back and edit another video, and then you're gonna already have that in your arsenal, and then you're gonna do another trick.
Yep.
And then, you know, after editing 100 videos, you're gonna have 100 new tips and tricks.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you also need a brand to hire someone to do that work for you. It's like that's what I feel like people always want to skip that whole phase. They just want to be the success, you know? And it's like you kind of need to do it on your own. You have to build yourself to a point where like someone would want to edit for you or work for you know?
Dude, yeah.
It's
Yeah, because it's that's like the art of attraction, right? Like if
Yeah.
someone believes in what you're doing, like they're much more likely to come and actually be a part of your team without you getting nickel and dimed, right?
Yep.
Because like you can pay someone, but if someone think if someone if you haven't created anything or created
Yeah.
a brand for yourself, even if you're paying them, they're gonna be like,
Yeah. They're
this
not
is
gonna
a
be super
joke, right?
motivated to
Like,
like do it for you if there's no like reward, you know? It's
no.
like, and even for yourself too, you're gonna be wasting money as you
Yeah. Oh, so much money.
like what's the point
So
of
much
putting out
money.
a
'Cause
highly like produced, like well edited video for nobody to watch, you know? It's like
yeah.
you gotta
For nobody to watch, and
yeah.
when you're probably not even you're not great on camera at that point 'cause you don't have the
Yeah,
practice.
exactly. So I've
Yeah.
there's a path I think for a reason because of all the growth in the path. Like you need to
Right.
get all those skills first to then be ready for the next step, which
And part of that's like you a good point you made was people just want to be the success,
Yeah.
and that's like the antithesis of how you become successful is like falling in love with an outcome, right? If you fall in love, if you're attached to an outcome or a title or something like, oh, I want to be rich, right? Cool. Everyone wants to be rich, right? With whatever it is, like financially or
Yeah.
happiness or family, just rich. You want to be rich in life, right? Great. But you need to fall in love with the process and the journey that it takes to get there. You can't fall in love with the outcome, because falling in love with the outcome will do you no good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right?
Like
You can't
especially
fall.
with views, like that's a views thing too. If you fall in love with the outcome and getting views, if you're not getting views, you're gonna get discouraged. Like it's that same thing, because if you fall in love with the process of it, and if you truly enjoy what you're doing, then the outcome will happen, and it's not as you're not attached to it because you're doing what you love anyways. Like for me with the vlogs, right? Like if I'm wasting time, like essentially like on a hockey vlog and it didn't get views, and I'm fucking pissed because it was for the outcome. It's the only reason I was doing it is for the outcome. So you have to definitely do something where you enjoy doing it, because if you're doing that, you're gonna get so good at it that eventually you're gonna crack it, and it's gonna work. And it's I guess easier to say because I feel like we're both in the somewhere in the middle of the phase of gonna crack it, you know, and we're just building towards it. So it's like we're honestly like giving ourselves advice too at the same time, but it's good to like
But
speak it out.
which is an interesting perspective, like I think for people to listen to. Like we're both in an interesting a precarious situation
Yeah.
where you have something that's working, but like you don't really that's not what you want to do the rest of your life,
Yeah.
right? So it's like you know, somewhat of a rebranding, somewhat of a,
Yeah.
you know, how do I transition this audience into kind of a new style of my content? And a lot of that is what we were just getting at. It's like it's trusting the process, and being in love with that and what you're doing, rather than being attached to an outcome, being attached to how many followers you have and what your audience is. And yeah. and for like to summarize that, that's like the art of not wanting something too bad.
Yeah.
Right. Like if all you like all you want is to be famous, like I just want to, or all you want is to make that team. Like the harder you want it, I guarantee you, the further the universe is gonna push it away from you.
Yep.
Like because you want a title.
Yeah.
You want an
wrong
outcome.
Reasons.
It's the wrong reason. You need to want to get up and train every day that bad. That's what yeah. that's what you need to want to do. And if you want, if you enjoy and you want to get up and train every day that bad, then eventually the outcome will follow. Yeah. But you don't, you're not defined by an outcome. You're defined by what you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. And the people that are searching, I've met a lot of people like this that are just, whether they just want to be famous or they want to be on a D1 team or they want to be in the NHL, MLB, whatever it is, like they're doing it. They want it for the wrong reason. Like that, why they want it, why they want to be famous is because they want to mask their insecurities. Like they're mm-hmm. a super insecure person. They want to be famous so everyone thinks they're cool. Like, right. well, why do you want to be like, what do you, you just want to be famous so people think you're cool? Like, no, like if, so like people like, and I've countered this to people before and they'll say like, oh, well like with what you're doing, like, don't you want to be famous? Cause you need to like an audience. I'm like, I don't want to be famous. I want to do what I love. And if I'm doing it right, like fame might follow, but I'm not, I don't want to be famous. I don't care about that. I just want to do what yeah. I love doing. I don't fucking like who cares about being famous. You know, like honestly, it's probably really annoying to be famous.
Like, yeah, you, it I probably
just,
is.
I just want to enjoy what I'm doing every day. Like I've had minor, like small experiences of like popularity where like people watch my like YouTube or, in the hockey world, so I this one time I was at a dinner, just casual dinner at Applebee's with my girlfriend, like of course yeah. post game yeah. and there was a hockey team a high school hockey team sitting there having a post game meal. All of them knew who I was, so I'm just sitting there like having a dinner, just chilling, trying to just chat it up post game, like blowing off steam, whatever I'm doing, and they just keep turning and like looking at me and like yelling my name, like Patcha. I'm like, wow, like fuck that. That was annoying.
Yeah.
And this is the most minor
thing. I'm
trying
to have dinner.
Yeah, this is the most yeah. minor thing because like this isn't a norm for me. I'm not well known that much, but if you get a full hockey team of high school kids, they'll probably like know me from the hockey world, and I'm like, wow, like I can only imagine right. what Mark Wahlberg goes through every day. You know, he can't go out in public. Dude. You know.
I think that's what's funny. Like that's what's funny about it. If someone's listening and they're like, that's bullshit, like yeah. like you know, people are attached, people just want to be famous and they become famous and they become celebrities and they yeah. love it. It's like, well, actually, if you look at most yeah. celebrities, I'm not talking about the ones that randomly rose to fame over like, you know, kind of over like TikTok trends and shit that like it's happened really quick and they're famous because they want to be famous. Like mm-hmm. I'm not talking about those guys, but I'm talking about like true artists and creatives, yeah. like actors, like
musicians,
actors or musicians and you know, celebrities in even celebrities in the sports world. Like you'll see that most of them hate yeah. the attention. They hate the paparazzi, and it's because like and you're like, oh, how is it that all of these people at the top hate being famous so much? If I were famous, I'd love it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that's because you are attached to the idea of being famous and that's yeah. like what you're in love with. They are attached and in love with the process it took to get famous, yeah, not being famous.
Yeah, like a musician. And, like Bieber's a great example. Bieber hates being famous.
Yeah.
He's oh my gosh, so yeah, I mean, good at singing and making music. He's the best.
It's caused like, him so much harm.
Yeah.
Like, right? Think about how many children fame is like literally oh, yeah. just destroyed.
And it's they just, they're so good at what they do. It's not that they like, they weren't growing up like, oh, I want people to like me. I want to be famous. They were just obsessed with what they right. do and just happened to be that good where it took them to that popularity. So I think right. that's like the mindset that we have to have. And anyone in that wants to achieve a goal, like look in the mirror and realize why you're doing it and what you need to do, you know? So,
yeah.
But
it's crazy. Like, yeah. Once you really get older and actually look at the reasons, like you get told these things as a kid,
yeah,
right? You get told these things like, look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself why you're doing something. You're like, yeah, fuck, that's a joke. Like, what do you mean? Like, you know,
you want
like,
me to talk to myself in the mirror?
Yeah, you're like your coach after a hockey game, right? He's like, ask yourself like why you get out here on the ice every day. And then now
you don't know what it means. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Look in the
mirror. It's a joke, right? You're like, of course I want it, man. I don't need to look in the mirror. Then when you think about it, it's like, yeah, literally. But I mean, now once you get older, and that's the thing, like everyone says all the time, wisdom's wasted on the old or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, the youth doesn't have the type of wisdom you have when you're older. I feel like, honestly, I feel like we're both onto something at a relatively young age where we still have so much time. Especially if you ask Gary V.
Yeah,
so much
we're
time.
We're young as fuck, in Gary V's words.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, a lot of this stuff, if it's losing you, if you're like you're younger and listening to this, like this is real shit. And like the more you can focus on trying to do these things on a daily basis, and by do these things, I mean just having these thought processes, and like, you know, asking yourself the tougher questions of like, you know, what's the process that I really want to do? You know, what am I truly passionate about, and what is it going to take to get there? And am I okay to make the sacrifices that it's going to take to get there?
Yeah.
Like the more you can do that on a daily basis, like, you're going to become so full of wisdom so fast.
Yeah.
Because you're going to lose all the excess.
I do wish, I always look back at, like, I think I've learned a lot since I started making social media, like in the last three or four years or whatever. I don't even know how long. I think I started when I was 22 maybe. So I guess like three years. But I look back and I'm like, damn, I wish I knew that, like, this mindset when I was a kid, like in high school, because I was such a
100%.
Like, I was in my own shell, but I was so narrow-minded and just didn't understand like this process in the world of like what I wanted to be. Is like, if I had this mindset I have now, then like I would be so much further along, you know. You just look at it, like,
right?
And that's why we're saying this, to like, I'm hoping to hit that, the me at 16 years old that like was doesn't really know how to get there, like what he's doing is just angry all the time, you know. Like, I'm trying to hit that kid and be like, trying to try to help you change the mindset to have a head start, I guess, and a blueprint.
Dude, we could literally talk for another hour, because now we're like getting into like mentality around success and mentality around like training and expectations from society. And like,
dude, we might have to do a part two.
Yeah,
but
it's like I do wonder, like, I'm interested to see the response, because this is it's definitely like we're not there yet, but it could have got like even more cerebral with, like, you know, with kind of the mentality around all of this stuff, and not even just like with specifically what we're doing, but just with whatever you want to achieve in general. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see the response. But fuck, I always love having these conversations, because I feel like we don't have, as human beings, we don't have enough.
No, it's great. I always feel good having them too. I'm like, I can't like talk about it with everyone. They don't really understand what I'm jabbering about all day. Like, if I go talk to my mom about it, she's like, what the hell? Like, she nods her head, and like, she's like, deep. Agrees with me. She has no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, fuck it. All right, I'll go talk to the camera, mom.
Actually, though.
But yeah, no, I appreciate you coming on. This is a great chat we had. Hopefully the audience gets something out of it, whoever listens. And if you're listening this far in, we appreciate you. So thank you, and go follow Ryan. I'll drop your social media stuff on the screen, but for the audio version,
sweet,
if you want to plug your
account. I think same at on Instagram and TikTok, it's RyanWin44. That's pretty much the only plug I got. I'm not really on YouTube too much anymore, so probably just those two socials.
Cool. All right, well, that wraps it up. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Until next time. Take a drag, I feel it in my lungs. Drop down like a motherfucker.